today on Real Radio.
Well, we all believe in the same God. All the Christians go, no, we don't. And the Buddhists say, no, we don't. And the Hindus say, mm-mm. And the Muslims say, no way. No, we don't. And all those who believe in their God or gods know that we don't believe in each other's God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Now, one of the most defining aspects of a believer is, quite frankly, what we believe and how what we believe affects our view of the world. A worldview is how we see the world around us. And as Christians, it's vital that we spend time on this topic because what you believe, it really does define you. It governs your life. It dictates how you act and dictates your future. What you believe really does matter. Pastor Jack is about to take us through some common worldview issues and help us see them through the lens of the Bible. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. It's a message called, What You Believe Defines You.
Number one, here we go. What you believe defines you this way. Your worldview defines your beliefs. Will you write that down? And here it is. Do you believe in God? Now, you might say, Jack, of course we do. We're in church right now. But listen, use this on the street. Use this tomorrow at work. But right now, use it in your own mind. Question, your worldview defines your beliefs. So my first question is, do you believe in God? And notice that notice God is in a lowercase g. I did that intentionally. Because right now we haven't defined the God that you believe in. So I'm just asking you, do you believe in God? Why do I ask this? Because most people, their worldview, they allow space to believe in God. They will say that God exists. Now, what's interesting about this is, do you believe in God is a question, but watch this. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. See the word fool? It doesn't mean the guy is uneducated. The word means, in the original Hebrew language, the wicked man has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a mantra. It's a chant. The man is wicked. He senses that there may be a God. He's not sure what that God is like, but that God must be greater than himself. And so thus, he says to his own heart, there is no God. There is no God. There is no God. Translation, I won't get caught. I won't get caught. Translation, nobody will see. Nobody will see. Where does that come from? Because of the overriding specter of the concept of God and the fallen nature of man. It's in every human being. The person who would say to you tonight, I don't believe in any of this. I don't believe in God. They are lying to you in the sense that there is a fear within them that a God or gods may exist and they will answer to them someday. This is universal. In cultures that have yet to have even received the Bible in print, where missionaries have stumbled across cultures, isn't it interesting to find out that there has never been a culture yet discovered or a tribe in the jungle that has yet to not have an altar of some form of worship? Anthropologists know this. Isn't it interesting? But the fool says, the person who is wicked of heart says, there cannot be a God, and he's trying to convince himself. Do you believe in God? To form or challenge your worldview, we have to ask this question. Is there evidence that indicates that God or a God exists? This is a big challenge. You say, this is so remedial, I can't believe it. This is the issue that props up so much of what is wrong with the world. There is no God, and so, fill in the blank. What people are really saying is that my worldview makes no allowance for God, because if this God or gods exist, then it would quench my lifestyle, and so there must not be a God. So the question is, do you believe in God? Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Listen to this. Day to day pours out their speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, there is no words where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent or a dwelling location, a spot for the sun. And we know this in the study of astrophysics, for example. This is an absolute biblical fact. It is an absolute scientific fact. And isn't it interesting that when a man or a woman looks at the heavens above, look, when a child looks up at the stars above, a child does not walk out, or a human adult doesn't walk out and say, wow, look at that, there cannot be a God. They don't do that. That's not normal. That is not normal. Normal would be, wow, that's amazing. Could there be a God? Wow, that's amazing. There must be a God. Years ago at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, a friend of mine, his best buddy was a non-believer. And his wife, they got pregnant, and they went into the hospital. It was the birth time, and this non-believer standing there watching the baby come out. And the baby comes out of his wife. He sees his baby and passes out. Cold floor, falls on the floor. They have to revive the guy. They said, boy, what's the matter? All the blood scare you? He said, I had nothing to do with blood. He said, all these Christians have been telling me about God, and if I just saw a miracle happen. There is a God. The evidence is overwhelming for God. The next thing is this. What is your God like? What is your God like? What attributes does your God possess? Now, you know what? I don't know about you. I think you know this, being in this church, but I just want to be safe for the record. I hope you all know that when people talk about their God, we need to ask them, who in the world are you talking about? There are tons of gods out there that have been invented by people. And it's an insult to everybody when some bonehead politician or some news anchor says, well, we all believe in the same God. All the Christians go, no, we don't. And the Buddhists say, no, we don't. And the Hindus say, mm-mm. And the Muslims say, no way. No, we don't. And all those who believe in their God or gods know that we don't believe in each other's God. You see, Pastor Jack, isn't this kind of scary? Because you're talking about the word God and gods with a lowercase g. Absolutely not. You're falling right into the argument, which I want you to do, of the worldview series. Because you and I are arguing from the position of absolute truth. It comes down to things like this. You've heard me say this before, and it should never ruffle your feathers. If, for some reason, our city fathers say, we're going to have prayer. We're going to have public prayer, and it's going to be in school. And to appease everybody, we're going to have Muslim prayers on Monday, and we're going to have Christian prayers on Tuesday. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. We can't believe you just said that. Listen, it's technically only on Tuesday, if it's the Christian prayers, that God's listening. Monday, there's nobody listening. Well, how do you know? Because Jesus said, you can't talk to the Father unless you come through me and in my name. I mean, he made up the rule. He said, I can't believe you're saying that. Then welcome to the Worldview series. It should stimulate a little fire within you. And then you need, before you throw rocks or get on the internet or send some stupid note somewhere, you need to get all pumped up and then go research and find out what is it you believe and find out if it's true. And if you're honest intellectually, then you will come to the conclusion, for example, if I were to ask you, what's your God like? If you say, well, he's upset, because there are religions I can name by name right now whose God is always upset. I mean, they say so. We don't know why he's so angry, but he's always angry. It's true. And I'm thinking, why? Why follow him? Is he happy? Is he happy God? Is he an angry God? Is he creative God? What's he like? This is a very telling and powerful thing because it speaks about the environment in which a culture is governed by its god or gods. Because people, listen, people become like the gods they worship, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up. If you worship a god of war, you will be warlike. If you're following the Prince of Peace, you're going to make peace. You will become like the god or gods you worship. And that will shape your worldview and how you see everything and how your life is conducted. Psalm 115, verse 8 says, those who make them, that is gods, are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Why? Because gods are made out of human imagination or human handiwork, but not the God of the Bible. Next thing is this. Can you know this God that you entertain in your mind? Can you know him? Or know it. Look what Paul said again in Acts 17, 23. He says, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. The Greeks knew enough to know that they might have missed someone in their worship. So they had a statue to the unknown God. Paul, in his brilliance as an evangelist, seizes upon the opportunity. Listen, church, Christians, people here tonight, when somebody says anything, well, I think, and they're going to say whatever they're going to say. As a Christian, I personally believe that that is God opening a door for you to step up and step into it. I believe, listen, look, this is my belief. And I wish you would believe it. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I wish you would believe it because I think it's biblical. I believe that wherever you and I go, I believe that tomorrow, for example, God knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow and it's pre-programmed in a sense and I'm walking into it tomorrow. That's why when you wake up tomorrow morning, you should say, yahoo! God, what are we going to do today? And God just reaches and opens up your ceiling of your house and goes, we're going to do this today. Get up and let's watch what happens. And as you go, for example, tomorrow, I noticed tonight there's a nail in my tire in my truck. There's a nail. So could my tire be flat tomorrow? It could. Poor Jack. Poor. No, wait. It means that the tow truck guy, because I don't know how to change a tire. This is the 21st century. I don't know. That the tow truck guy might need encouragement, might need Jesus. Something's going on. My worldview is God is all over my worldview. I've learned this from him. I've watched him do this. We don't need to panic. There are no issues. God's got it. So can you know this God? If you don't know your God, then you need to change gods. Amen. And get to know the God who's knowable. Second thing is this tonight, what you believe defines you, really does. Because if you're weak and terrified and terrorized, okay, then your God is not affecting much of your belief. Well, what about your actions? Your worldview supports your actions. Did you know that? How you view the world supports your actions, the actions that you and I take. This is a big deal. Why are some people taking certain courses? I don't mean in class. I mean directions, as a directional. As a path of life, they're going a certain way, and it's like, what is the deal? What is that? They just seem to know that that's the right path to go on. Listen, as a believer, as a Christian, I want to encourage you, and you always encourage me too, please, is to wait on the Lord. Amen. See, what do you mean? Just wait. First of all, exactly what I mean by wait. Wait. Come on, we got to go now because if we don't, it's going to blow up. Just wait. If we don't do it now, they're going to sell out and they'll be all gone. Just wait. This is the last one on our lot right now. If you don't buy it, there's a family coming down right now to buy it right now. All four wheels. It's going to be gone in 5 minutes. You better buy it now. You know what? Just say, hey, man, you know what? I don't want to upset that family. Let them come on in and buy it. I'll just wait for them. If God wants you to have that skateboard, it'll be there. You wait. It affects your actions this way. How do you rate your morality regarding your worldview? When you say, well, I'm a Christian, but I know the Bible says this, but this is how I live. Understand something. How you live is your worldview. Your worldview is not what you say. Your worldview is what you do. It's your actions. And it's very, very important. If your worldview is humanistic, listen to this, existential, meaning for pleasure, then your morality is a moving target. You are an opportunist in the most raw degree. The removal of the Ten Commandments from public view. Watch this. Don't answer yet. Is it a political issue? Is it a religious issue? Or is it a moral issue? Removing the Ten Commandments from public view in America, is it a political issue, a religious issue, or a moral issue? You know what's amazing? Right now, every one of you have an answer. And the answer that popped into your head is based upon your worldview. For example, be bold now. Be bold. How many of you believe that removing the Ten Commandments from the public arena is a political issue? Raise your hand. Be honest. Raise your hand high so I can see. Okay? And put your hands down. How many of you think that it's a religious issue? Raise your hands. Okay? How many of you think that it's a moral issue? Raise your hand. Okay. Overwhelmingly, you view it as a moral issue. In Titus chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. In other words, to the pure of heart, those that have a morality that is safe and upright before God, for example, they have a tendency to see good in everything almost. Not in everything, but they'll give you the benefit of the doubt, which is a very sweet thing if you think about it. But he goes on in Titus 1:15, he says, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. Meaning that there are those who see good in things because they start from that point. And then there are those who see everything dirty. Have you ever seen those people? Most of them are on TV today in a lot of programs. Sitcoms are very much like that. Everything's filthy. Everything has got that nasty, dirty, either mockery or seductive or lewd twist. You and I live in that culture. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, why? Why is that the case? Because they are promoting a certain world view. And it will permeate everything and anything until it meets resistance. And it will never, never stop until it meets resistance. What's the other resistance? A biblical worldview. That's why there's an epic battle right now. I use the Ten Commandments as an issue to have you think about where does it fall into. I could have replaced that issue with anything about sex ed to kindergartens. It's the same breakdown. Is it a political issue? Is it a religious issue? Is it a moral issue? What you'll find out eventually is that your worldview will not be able to be relegated down to a certain GPS of its strictly morality. You're going to find out that your worldview governs every way that everything that you think, say, and do, and that it is political, It is religious and it is moral. You say, Jack, you're so dumb. I completely disagree with you, because the atheists aren't religious people and they want the Ten Commandments removed. You know what? I anticipated your question there. I wrote this down. If the politicians disapprove of the Ten Commandments, technically, according to our laws, they have no authority on the matter. Did you know that? Politicians have no right or authority to debate the issue of the Ten Commandments being viewed in public arena. Do politicians have the right and the authority to discuss the issue of abortion? Think now. Oh, this is fun stuff now, don't you? Oh, this is fun now. I could tell by how quiet it got in here. See, we have willfully, by not engaging the culture, we have backed away and we have let others become, as it were, little gods in our culture. Since when does a politician have the authority and right to decide what is human or not human, what lives and doesn't live? Ladies and gentlemen, think. Is that a political issue? Is it a religious issue? Or is it a moral issue? It's all of the above, isn't it? You see, I hope a little light is coming on and it begins to burn brighter. Atheist. What if atheists disapprove? Atheism is a religion, ladies and gentlemen. Atheism. My religion that I worship has no God. Read the fine print. I'm it. That's what an atheist is. Atheism's a religion. Have to remove the Ten Commandments from the public square, says who? Says the atheist of America. Isn't it interesting that the politicians side with a religious view of a minority and impose in the name of tolerance an intolerant view? Why? Because you can't separate that trinity of, in your biblical worldview, the religion of it all, the political of it all, and the morality of it all. It's a lot of fun. Next is this. Is your lifestyle worth duplicating? Your worldview supports your actions. So the question is, regarding where you're at in life, who you are, is your lifestyle or your worldview lifestyle worth duplicating? That is, does your worldview protect or promote or propagate the culture? Is it a good thing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What You Believe Defines You, a study on looking at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series, the series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith, and will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We just ended a series called You Need to Know. We want to let you know that we're presenting to you a special offer, and that's this. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on MP3 CD. I'll say that again for you. We'll send you the entire series called You Need to Know by Pastor Jack on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. It's called You Need to Know. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, write to us, include your gift, and ask for it by name. You Need to Know. It's on MP3 CD. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.